John 21, verse 1 to 14. And feel free to read from the version that you like to read from most. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. You'll remember he did that when he called some of his disciples. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out on the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat. Someone has to do the work. They stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. So 153 fish, I hope it's enough.
There are some fish that are being handed out. And just so you know, if 153 wasn't quite enough, there's another box down here that may need to be distributed. We're doing this series about the resurrection people, the people of God. That's us and those in the New Testament after the resurrection. And in this particular story, we find Jesus in an unexpected place. I'm wondering if I could have the PowerPoint thing up. That would be handy. Where do you expect to meet with the risen Jesus? Maybe in a church service like this. Maybe in your personal quiet time while you're reading the Bible. Maybe at a conference or even walking through God's creation. And in our story today, Jesus meets his disciples in an unexpected place. So unexpected that, like we've seen in lots of our stories before, his friends don't recognize him. Imagine you are at work and Jesus shows up. You don't recognize him at first. In this particular story, after the resurrection, and the disciples are feeling a little bit disoriented, not sure now that they're unable to follow Jesus and he's popping up, appearing all over the place in different ways, but they're not able to follow him in the same way that they did before. So what do? They find themselves back at work, back on the boat, back with the nets, back fishing. And in this story, Jesus literally turns up in Peter's workplace. He also turns up on a particular day when Peter is feeling a bit of a failure. The very thing that Peter thought that he could do, be a fisherman, is the thing that he's struggling with right now. No fish. Not even one. And notice that in this particular story, Jesus doesn't... I'll go back, sorry. How did we get there? In this particular story, Jesus doesn't rebuke Peter and the disciples for returning to fishing. In fact, he encourages them and he helps them. Work, as it turns out, is good. Work is part of the resurrection life that Jesus has risen again and wants to bring to us. He doesn't call us to stop work. He doesn't call us to just be spiritual for the rest of our lives. He's not just interested in what we do on a Sunday morning here in church. He's interested in what we do this time tomorrow and every other day. Now, whether that means that you're employed full-time or part-time in a vocation, or whether you're a student, or whether you're retired, or a full-time parent, whatever you do during the week is a gift from God, something that he wants to be present in today. It was good to have those testimonies today from Erin and Athlyn, because as we talk about God being present, particularly in the secular workplace, this is one of those areas I'm not qualified to speak much about that. And so I have to call in the experts of everyday individuals like you, because I'm just a pastor and I usually just work in a church. But you get to live out that experience of your faith in the workplace, which is where the majority of God's people are called to be, God's resurrected people. And that is the best place to be. That is the place where God has called his people to be present in and to find him there. What would it look like if Jesus turned up in your workplace this time tomorrow? What would he look like? Would you recognize him? And what would it look like if you found yourself in a place where actually you were struggling in your workplace and God spoke into that? This moment where Peter, who's supposed to be the expert fisherman, and he doesn't have any fish, and Jesus says, throw your net on the other side of the boat, you'll find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. So Jesus found himself in that place helping them with their work. I remember a number of years ago, I was leading a team in an admin team in a customer service organization. And there were some challenges within the team and some things that I had to sort out and do. And I remember praying about it while I was on the train going to work on the way to Newmarket there. And as I was praying, I felt like God showed me what to do. I often pray and write. I keep a prayer journal. Part of that is because I find myself getting distracted. I don't know if anyone else gets distracted in prayer, but I find that writing helps me stay focused. And so I was writing this prayer to God about my work situation. And sometimes we kind of think that God only wants to speak about our spiritual life. God wants to help me be a better follower of Jesus. Maybe God wants to help me write a worship song, or I don't know. But in this situation, I just felt prompted suddenly with a list, a bullet point list of things to do. And I wrote down that list and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. That's exactly what I need to do. And they're not my ideas. I really felt like God had offered these ideas. And over the years, the more that I'm able to listen to what God's saying, not just in the workspace, in the church space, but in the workspace in everyday life, that God wants to bring his wisdom. I'm wondering if you have an example like that as well. Would you be able to raise your hand with me? If you have experienced God giving you some kind of a solution for your secular work situation. So could you raise your hand with me? Look around the room. If you've felt God give you some kind of wisdom for your workplace. Isn't that cool? Isn't that encouraging? It's encouraging to me to see that God speaks to you in that setting. And it's encouraging, I think, for those who may not have raised their hands, because maybe that's an invitation to say, actually, Jesus does want to speak to me in that place, and he will give me wisdom. And like we've heard, for someone who works for the electoral committee and from someone who is a teacher, that these two are not just doing their job that they're paid to do, but there's a sense of calling. I wonder if you could raise your hands with me if you believe that God has placed you in the setting that you work, not just for the work, but for some kind of other purpose. Would you raise your hand with me? Thank you. And so as part of being the resurrection people, God has called us not just to what we do on a Sunday morning and in Bible study times and in our prayer life, but in our everyday workplace. Jesus wants to be present in those settings as well. There's a little vision of eternity that's expressed in Isaiah chapter 65. Listen to these words, and as we read further down the passage, I'm reading from verse 17. Listen out for what work looks like with this renewed vision of eternity. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I'll rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will not be heard anymore. You see, God was going to recreate something at the end of time. But the picture is not just one of clouds and angels playing harps. It's not endless church services that some people might have in their head. But listen to these words from verse 21. They'll build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and other people live in them or plant and other people's eat, but my chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain. And so it seems that in this passage in Isaiah chapter 65, that work is something that God has created us to do that will continue into eternity, but it won't be laboring in vain. There'll be a fruitfulness to this. God will not do away with work. He will just banish the futile work, unjust work, vain work. The promise of eternity is a heavenly city where we all enjoy God's good gifts, including food and houses and satisfying, enjoyable work. Does that vision change how you view your work now? Jesus wants to come alongside us, even when things are frustrating, even when things are difficult, and breathe new life into our work, breathe something of those qualities of the resurrection into what we are doing now. In this beautiful scene after the resurrection, when Jesus meets with his disciples again, this breakfast on the beach, when we work with Jesus, he can bring abundant results. These fishermen who couldn't catch anything, then suddenly there's 153, this huge catch of fish, far more than they needed or expected. When we submit the work of our hands to our God, it can lead to him doing immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. This verse in Ephesians chapter 3. Imagine him, Christ Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And Jesus can take the fruit of that work that we do, as he took those fish, and he can use that. We can gather around the breakfast campfire with Jesus and enjoy this harvest of his grace in our work. What I like about this scene there's kind of a little bit of an echo. Jesus often is feeding people with fish. There's this little boy who had his lunch, his fish, and the bread. And there's this huge crowd of people. And this boy brought his fish and his bread to Jesus. And in this scene, when there's this abundance of fish that's been provided, Jesus asks the disciples to bring some of that fish to him. Now, he's already got the fire going, and he's already got some fish on the fire. I don't know where he got that. But he already has some fish, and now he's asking them to bring what they have, some, a portion of what they have, into this place where they will also be fed and nourished together around the campfire. So today, did you like the offering bags? Usually the offering bags are kind of asking for money, aren't they? Or a recognition of God's provision and the work of the kingdom. Today, we just wanted this to be an offering of a recognition of the work that God has given you and his provision within that space. So as you take that chocolate fish in your hand, if you've still got it, I heard some rustling. I know some of them are gone already. That's okay. So grab this chocolate fish. Make sure that everyone's got this. If you hold this, today this represents the work that God has given you, the work that God wants to bless, the work that you'll be doing this time tomorrow or through the week, whether that be full-time work, part-time work, as a parent or retired or anything else, as a student or something different. God has called you, not just to this place on a Sunday morning, but God has called you to the places you go through the week, and he wants to bless your work. Jesus wants to meet you in your workplace, and he wants to work with you. He wants us to pray and to follow his wisdom so that the miraculous could be done in the settings that we are in. And Jesus is also calling us to commit our work to him, to be nourished and to share with others. You get to do what you like with that chocolate fish. It might be there for your own nourishment today. Or it might be to share with others. You can choose what you do with it. But as we conclude this particular part of our service and move towards a time of responsive prayer, I'd love to read these words again. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. We're going to read through and pray through some portions of Isaiah chapter 65. So up on the screen, there will be some words in bold that say all. Now all means all of us. And this is what we can all pray together or declare. And then in between that, there's a section of some reading, some specific prayer based on Isaiah chapter 65. Do you think we can do this? Let's start. God promises to create a new heavens and new earth where we will build houses and dwell in them. God, we pray for those who do not have homes. We pray for those who are unsafe or unwelcome in the places that they live. Lord, would you bless and inspire people in the building trade and people who sell and rent houses that their work would be done safely, with justice and joy. God promises to create a new heavens and new earth where we will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Today we pray for those who do not have enough to eat. Lord, we also pray that you would bless and inspire people in agriculture, in supply chains, in food shops, that food will be provided fairly and for the good of this planet. God promises to create a new heavens and new earth where we will enjoy the work of our hands and our labor will not be in vain. We pray for those who are looking for work, those who find their work futile, fruitless, or overwhelming. Lord, would you bless and inspire everyone in their employment, and those who work in the home and in the community, that everyone's task can be done for your glory and in your presence. God promises to create a new heavens and new earth, and that we will be glad and rejoice forever in what he will make. Amen.